If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything in UFC Fight Night, and what a good fight night it should be between Santos and Ankalaev. And normally, after you have a big pay-per-view at UFC 272, the next week's cards can be a little bit to be desired. Oh, this is a very desirable card indeed. We're going to have Jordan Sherwood and Reed Kuhn join us later on this hour, but what a treat, because today, in studio to begin the show, not just myself and Nick Kalikas, the man who sets the odds behind me here at Circus Sportsbook, but Lou Finocchiaro is in from the desert of Arizona to join us here in Las Vegas. So it's great to have Three's company here in the show today.
I'm happy to be here, and I don't want to horn in. I just want to be a fly on the wall, and I traveled all the way here to be that fly on
Perfect. Well, let's get that information out, gentlemen. And Nick, we talked about it last week as we look back at UFC 272. You had over a $3 favorite last week in Colby Covington. This week, at some point, you could almost triple that with Ankalaev here against Santos. Numbers come down a little bit since our talk on Tuesday, First Strike, First Look. Check it out on your podcast. But what do you make now? How have you been moving the number this week, and what type of action have you seen so far?
Well, I mean, there's nothing significant so far that's coming even on the Santos side, but we're still getting that parlay action, of course, on Ankalaev. So we're still relatively high as far as the market goes, and I expect that dog action to come back in. I mean, Santos is a dangerous finisher. I mean, we said it on the podcast already. He's got that explosive power that you can never count him out. But that being said, I think stylistically it's a dangerous matchup, so we're going to lean on the favor side here.
Okay, so right now we're seeing about minus 490, almost $5 here for Ankalaev. Will you came from the weigh-ins today here on a Friday at UFC Apex. When you see a guy with a sledgehammer on his chest, sometimes that can be intimidating. Did Santos look in good form to you?
I'll tell you what, except for three fighters, the whole slate was on weight 14 minutes in. So Santos looked great, as did every other fighter on the card, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's always a good sign when we sit here on a Friday. Don't have to worry about hopefully anything being postponed last second. Again, when you set those numbers early in the week and over, you know, you had a good price point, I believe, on Tuesday when we spoke here. Do you expect more action to come in tomorrow? And again, you think the buyback's coming on Santos?
Oh, for sure. There's no question about it. I mean, because again, you look at who he's fought against. He's fought against high-level competition. He's improved quite a bit. And Ankalaev, on the other side of it, isn't really a household name as of yet. But this fight could kind of get him over that hump. But I do expect the Santos action to come in, because it's going to be very tempting.
3.5 is what I'm seeing so far on the total rounds props here, and it's juiced a little bit. Right now, actually, minus 115 either way here on the 3.5, Nick. Are you seeing people believing that this is going to be a long night in the desert?
I tried to track some action on the over a little bit, so we kind of went on the underside, favoring the under a little bit. I mean, 3.5 rounds for these two fighters is a long way to go. I understand Ankalaev is the kind of fighter that kind of likes to grind you out a little bit, and it's possible that this does go over that 3.5 mark, but I think the firepower both ways and the finishing ability that both of them have, I think the under is kind of the more tempting side. So I'm trying to protect that side a little bit more so than the over.
And Lou, I'm always curious when you're there at the weigh-ins and or just your observations that we have week in and week out, when you try to figure out if a guy had a rough weight cut, but Ankalaev, Santos, to you, look good. So again, durability shouldn't be an issue?
I don't see so. Both guys looked great. They looked great at the weigh-ins a couple days ahead of time, so there wasn't anything drastic that was happening.
All right. That's always a good sign if you want to play the over. We're not saying you should play the over. Just saying, though, if the weight cut doesn't look to be that difficult, should be a good sign possibly to go over that 3.5 round total. Okay, the co-main event of this one is very interesting, and I always like to glean at the weigh-ins, right? And I saw Marlon Moraes get right in the face of Song Yadong, kind of look right deep into his eyes there. Right now, almost $2 underdog here for the former title contender against Yadong here, minus 250. Any movement so far during the week on this fight?
We did get bet on the underdog a little bit more. Of course, Moraes, that side, I mean, before he got in the UFC, there were so many expectations for him, right? Man. And he's fought against, again, quality competition, so it's not like he's losing to bad fighters out there, but he hasn't performed at the level that we all expected him to. And then his durability is kind of an issue as well, but the skill is there. There's no question about it. He's one of the best strikers in the UFC. He's got the technical ability. He's got the knockout power as well, so he should be the better technical striker. That's going to attract dog money, so we are seeing a little bit more dog money on the Murray side right now.
Age is always an issue for me when I look at this, right, Lou? And you see a guy here 9 years your senior in Moraes against Yadong. Sometimes they say no country for old men, but I wonder if Moraes still has a little bit left in the tank from what you saw at the weigh-ins.
I feel he does. At least he feels he does. He trained in Thailand with Peter Yan. So he pulled out all the stops because he knows there's an age difference and there's young people coming up. And I think that what you can expect from Moraes is his best effort in the last few fights. Now, whether that's enough to get you to bet that underdog, that's up to you, but I think it's enough for me.
All right, talking with Nick Kalikas, Lou Finocchiaro here in studio at Circus Sportsbook. And again, Nick, when I look at the over-under, only, I say only, at a round and a half. And normally you think, well, these guys, they can go all day. But Yadong's got that power.
He does,
that transcendent one-punch knockout power that you normally don't see in these lighter divisions. Are you seeing any action coming in the under so far?
Yeah, we're getting a little bit more action on the over, which you'd expect with a 1.5, like you just said. But again, it's going to be relatively close because, I mean, what you said, the power, the stopping power that Yadong has on the other side of it. Then Moraes hasn't been out of the second round. I mean, he hasn't been the distance for a while now. His last three fights, I believe, finished inside the first couple rounds, right? So I think there's a trend there, so to speak. So you got to, again, think about the knockout power both of these guys possess and the durability factor, I think, on the Moraes side.
You know, when we spoke on Tuesday, and I was telling you the story of when I watched him fight Henry Cejudo in Chicago. And I'll never forget it, gentlemen. Like, after the fight, we're backstage, and you're waiting to talk to Cejudo. He's coming. He's got his crown on, the whole thing. And right next to me is Moraes. And he looks like just a beaten fighter. You know, there was his opportunity to get it, and it didn't happen, and it hasn't happened since. Nick, do you price that in, that people either go, oh, I know him, I know how close he's been to a title shot, or they go, boy, he's been there, done that, couldn't get over the mountaintop, it might be over?
I think you got to kind of eliminate some of that noise, though, a little bit, and just kind of look at it for what it's worth. So I try not to get distracted by that. Again, you got to, the public will fall into those kind of traps, so to speak, as well. But I think overall, when you're setting a line and when you're trying to book the action, you got to kind of eliminate that noise.
All right, let's talk about the third fight here on the main card. Whenever you have Alex Caceres on the card, it's always intriguing to me because, gentlemen, I don't know what you're going to get from Alex Caceres because he can look brilliant, he can be confusing, he can be dynamic, and it can be also perplexing when you wager on him sometimes. He's over a $2 underdog to Sodiq Youssef here. When you look at Youssef, I can understand why he's such a big favorite here, Nick. Are you getting any buyback, I would say, on the more popular underdog here?
Well, I mean, at the beginning we were, but now as we get closer to fight time, the line's starting to increase on the Youssef side, which I'm kind of with. Caceres has been one of these guys that's been historically underrated throughout his UFC career because he's such a well-rounded fighter. He can go out there and strike with good strikers and hang in there and do well. He has good grappling, underrated probably wrestling, good takedown defense. So he is a solid product, but the Youssef side, I mean, I think he's explosive. He's got that wrestling, the takedown defense as well. And I think stylistically, it's just a bad spot for him. And we are seeing some of the bettors come in now. And they were kind of waiting to see, I think, where the line is going. And then they came in so far this point before fight day and hitting the Youssef side.
All right. So, Lou, when you look at him in the weigh-ins today, right? And again, Caceres is the interesting guy because I think you know what you're going to get from Youssef. I mean, this is just a tough guy that wants to strike and wants to bang you out of there. Caceres, you don't know. How did he look to you, at least mentally? Could you read anything in at the weigh-in today?
Caceres is an almost prototypical copy of Benson Henderson. He worked with Benson for many years.
Yeah.
He's cerebral in the ring, in the octagon like Benson, and mentality is one of Caceres' strong points, in my opinion.
All right, that's going to be a very interesting stylistic matchup. And again, most people think this might go the decision. I can understand, Nick, why you see it over right now, heavily juiced to minus 160 for 2.5 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that bad. A lot of times when you see 2.5 rounds, you'll see over minus 200 or so. So I think there's finishing potential there as well. I mean, especially the Youssef side. He's so explosive. He's got knockout power. And Caceres, even though he has been durable overall, he has been been rocked in several of his fights, right?
No question.
A lot of those submissions were set up by getting him kind of getting stunned at first as well. So that's what the intriguing part is. I mean, Caceres, like you said, mentality-wise, I do love it. I see the improvements in his game. I mean, even defensively, which I think he needed to tighten things up. He's gotten there. So I think it could trickle over.
You know, gentlemen, when you look at the rest of this card, I mentioned off the top how deep this card is for a non-pay-per-view the week after a pay-per-view, right? And then you get to Khalil Roundtree and Carl Roberson here, and you go, boy, this could be very explosive, Nick. What are you seeing here? Because again, almost even money. I'm sure that that's fluctuated a little bit through the week.
Well, I opened it a pick. I'm a coin flip. Yep. When the market kind of had the Roundtree side favored a little bit, right? We did get action on the Roberson side, so we respect that action, and we kind of shifted a little bit. We were a scalp on the board. We attracted that action back on Roundtree, settled back down a little bit to -120. We got hit again on the favorite by some sharp action on the Roberson side at the time. Then we got sharp action back on the dog Roundtree. So this has been a heavily bet fight. There's sharps on both sides of this sucker right here, and it is kind of a head scratcher because there's a lot of similarities between these two guys, right? They both like to stand and bang. They both have knockout power. So this is going to be an interesting one.
You know, it's so interesting too when you look at 5'9", 5'10". And I just showed you Alex Caceres, who's 5'10", 145. These guys are 5'9", 5'10", and they're going 205. Lou, what did you see at the weigh-in for these two guys? That is packing a lot into those bodies.
Well, you know, Roberson had been fighting at 85, and he wasn't getting it done. He was depleted in his fights. Mm-hmm. So you saw jovial, relaxed, ready, prepared Roberson. And on the other side, Roundtree, a little more cerebral, knowing, I think, that he's got a war on his hands. These guys are going to stand there and look at each other and do a little rock'em sock'em robots,
Has got knockout potential, certainly, in this fight written all over. Got a minute to go, Nick, before we have to let you go. I got to ask you about Drew Dober against Terrence McKinney. McKinney right now out of Chicago, he's very interesting, high riser right now in this division. He says his time is now. Is it too much too soon here? Still a dog here at +140.
It might be too much too soon, but that's the intriguing factor about this fight. I mean, he's looked great so far. And again, talk about the attributes he has, the skill level. I mean, we're seeing different parts of his game. We knew he had knockout power. Now his ground game came to play in his last fight as well. So he is a finisher. That's what I expect in this fight. I think somebody's going to end up getting finished here. We have received some early action on the dog here, dropping the line a little bit. We were trying to kind of protect that side because I knew McKinney's going to be a public dog. Yeah. There's no question about it with all his kind of his rise in popularity, but we did see some sharp action recently come in and believe in that Dober side, and the line's kind of climbing back towards the Dober side right now as we speak because of that point that you kind of already said and mentioned that, I mean, that we're not sure if he can step up to this level yet. This is the ultimate test. If he can get by Dober, he's on the upper tier for sure.
Nick Leakes, follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fight Odds. Very quickly, 20 seconds on the line, ESPN, tell the people what they're going to get.
Check us out, UFC Fight Pass. We do UFC on the line, of course, all of our best bets, prop bets. We discuss the card from top to bottom and all the gambling aspects of things.
It's the best. Nick Leakes, always appreciate the time. Lou, don't go anywhere. You're going to hang out?
You bet.
Lou Finicaro is coming on back. It is First Strike right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and you're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Dave Ross back here. This is First Strike right here on VSiN, and what a pleasure it is to have Lou Finocchiaro staying in studio with us here for a second segment. Lou, when we get you in town, we're not going to let you go. You know how that works.
Well, and I'm not shy about asking my way in either.
We love having you on. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamLou. We're going to get to the Bout Business podcast in just a little bit. But let's go to the prelims here. And Lou, when you go to these weigh-ins, because again, I mentioned it with Nick Kalikas off the top of the show, I am fascinated when you go there, what you glean from the weigh-ins, and that changes and ever maybe your handicap that you had pre-weigh-in to post-weigh-in. Can it vary if you see maybe a tough weight cut?
Yes. And for instance, in today's, there was a couple situations. I was interested in the Moutinho-Canetti fight. Mm-hmm. Moutinho weighed in early but looked drawn and wasn't really energetic like many of the others were today. And so that swayed me to maybe overlook that fight.
Okay.
The next one was Pereira against Bruno Silva.
Mm-hmm.
I took Pereira myself really early in the week and got a great number. Now his number has gone up, and I was going to actually use him in some capacity, maybe even like a parlay side. But he didn't weigh in for a good 45 minutes. And I was just a little concerned that while his opponent, who really showed well during interviews and everything else, was eating bananas and drinking orange juice, he was still cutting weight. So maybe I'm reading too much in that, but between him being late and his price going up, I decided to sidestep that
one. Easy prayer right there, minus 190 now. So again, I think this is why we try to give you this information here on First Strike, because you can have a handicap during the week, and then all of a sudden, if the weight cut doesn't go according to plan, that handicap can go out the window sometimes.
And that's why, really, especially during COVID, it became something that most of we handicappers had to say, and that is pending weigh-ins. Because you'd be lucky sometimes to get your fighters to the weigh-ins, and then if you can get them through it, then you're good.
I saw on the first fight of the night, Chokwe, you actually like at plus money. Is that correct? Do you have a lean on that fight?
I do, and I like him for a half a unit, my standard kind of a bet.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot going for him. The Russian debuter really likes to strike. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's a grappler because he's got an OV at the end of his name. So, but in Chokwe, he's longer, taller, 6 years younger, focused, has more UFC experience, and I like the way the line goes. That's a profitable segment when you open between 100, plus 100, and plus 190, and the favorite grows.
Yeah.
Your dog price grows. Chukwi really follows that. I like his size, and I think he's very game in this fight.
Okay. Boy, as you start off a night with an undercard winner, it's always a good way to possibly start off a fight card. Let's stay on the prelims here, and I know Jackson against Kirk here, almost even money we've seen throughout the week here. What do you make of that matchup?
Kirk's a fighter from Phoenix, and so there's some insight there. His biggest challenge is guys that are going to push him back for 15 full minutes and use unrelenting pressure. I think we're going to see in this fight, Kirk's going to look pretty good early, and Jackson, who's a very limited on talent but tough and unrelenting, I think has what it takes to overwhelm Kirk late, and for that reason I like Jackson. We released him on Point Spread Weekly here, mm-hmm, at VSiN early in the week, plus 120. Now that number has gone to Pick'em, minus 110. I still think at Pick'em, he's a worthy consideration.
That means people are reading Point Spread Weekly. They should be, because very good information there, as always. We talked about the Drew Dober against Terrence McKinney fight a little bit with Nick Kalikas in the first segment. It's very intriguing fight to me when you have short notice fighter like Terrence McKinney, who's just, look, he's not spending a whole lot of octagon time, right? So you wonder, is this going to finally be the spot here, Lou, where maybe he gets tested a little bit more? Because so far it's been easy work for Terrence McKinney inside the octagon.
This was the most revealing fight at the interviews. McKinney came first, and no one asked him. Finally, I asked him, hey, are you here to wrestle? Because I think that's where Dober's strength is striking. So why not take Dober down? Absolutely not, he responded. Ooh. I'm here to make a show after 2 weeks. That soured me a little on the side. Now, understand, I released him plus 180 Monday via Twitter. So I'm already sitting on the side, but I didn't really like him saying that. Then later Dober came out. Dober got beat by Makhachev,
yeah.
And then, everybody's going to get smothered by that vice grip.
Right.
And then he got beat by Rydell in Phoenix at a fight that I asked Dober, are you going to wrestle him? Because Dober can wrestle. He said, no, I'm going to put on a show. Well, at the interviews, he's learned, and he knows that there's about 2 minutes of total time for McKinney, and he made it clear that I believe we'll see Dober wrestle, and I know he's going to sell his soul to take McKinney into round two or three and test his ability to go into deep waters, and for that reason, that's why I like that over.
It's one of the most fascinating concepts to me of mixed martial arts, and I understand you're trying to put on a show, and we get it. Dana White sometimes is favored people that not necessarily win, but maybe stylistically are more pleasing to the eye. Do these guys want to win? In Drew Dober's case, you would wrestle Terrence McKinney to get the win, right? And sometimes I just go, putting on shows are great, but you need to get the W at the end of the day to keep putting on shows.
At every interview, one of the press members, John Morgan, asks them, do you want it to be, do you just want to get your hand raised or you want to make it look great? So he's trying to get that out of them. But it's a huge thing, those bonuses for those fighters.
50K.
And it helps to be able to be there and monitor, take their pulse to see what they're thinking, and then to see if, in fact, what I believe ends up happening.
Very interesting. So, again, maybe we'll see Terrence McKinney with more octagon time if the wrestling ensues on that one. Maybe at 1.5 there. You're seeing it's pretty even right now, minus 115. So that could be a very interesting side right there. We mentioned Roundtree against Roberson. Should be a potential fight of the night candidate here. Again, when you look at Roundtree, he likes to throw. We understand that. Are these two guys going to stand and trade? And let's see who's got the bombs to get home.
I believe that's what each man has discussed. I think that's what their background tells us. Their background also tells us that you're talking about two of the most inconsistent fighters on the roster.
Right.
So you got to see which one's coming. To me, Roberson was loose as a goose and ready to go, and he weighed in 2 pounds underweight, so only 183. So he had no problem with the weight. Meanwhile, Roundtree, more cerebral, which isn't a bad thing. However, he just got done shooting a movie and is talking about shooting more movies and such. Maybe that's not the greatest. I believe he's focused for this fight. I have a lean to Roberson in the fight.
He's got that movie star mustache handlebars there. Let's go a little bit to Yusuf and Caceres here again. Caceres over a $2 betting underdog here. What do you make either side of the total on this one?
Complete great stylistic matchup. Caceres, a long drink of water, totally experienced, but 33. And his matrix-like reflexes and deft defense have been unbelievable, mm-hmm. But he's 33, and he's in there with a kid that's explosive, smart, young, and aggressive. In his last fight, Caceres fended off a long, tall Chinese fighter, right, that was aggressive, and he got it done. I think in this fight that the over is the way to go. I like that Yusuf is going to pressure, and I think Alex is going to look like, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and it's not going to be a good metric for the judges. Yusuf via decision is plus 150. I think that's the way I'm going on that fight.
And for the fight to go the decision, minus 130 to shorten those odds a little bit there too. A couple minutes to go here. Let's talk about Moraes against Yadong here, the co-main event of the evening. Is there an upset possible coming for the old man here at 33 years of age?
I'd like to be up a few units going into this fight. I don't have it yet, but I would venture a try on Moraes. We're going to get his best, his desperate effort. So maybe there's a shot there. Yes.
Tend to see it the same way there. All right, main event time. Look, there is respect coming in, and Nick Klick has said it. He expects to see more in the market towards Thiago Santos as we get closer and closer to the main event against Ankalaev. What do you make? Is there any chance for a long upset here by the big dog?
There's absolutely a way for Santos to win this fight. He's brooding like Hagler did before the Hearns fight, and no one can see it, and I'm not predicting anything. What I will predict is durability out of Santos. He's not going anywhere soon. And so in this fight, it's all about the over for me. In fact, I even starts round four, minus 125, that's DraftKings. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one right there because that's 2.5 minutes less than the 3.5. If you have to take the 3.5, it's okay. The price opportunity is better. Now, here's the blockbuster. Santos via inside the distance is plus 600, they're saying here. That's his path to victory, and he's angry, he's introverted, and I think he's ready to explode.
Lou, always appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
About Business Podcast, Gamblu on Twitter. Come on back. It's First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Want more betting insights to give you an edge? Well, check out VSiN's Best Bets podcast. You can listen to daily sports betting highlights from the entire 24/7 stream of VSiN experts, tracking line moves, odds, props, wins, losses, and bad beats from sportsbooks in Vegas and across the entire country. Download the VSiN Best Bets podcast now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Dave Ross back here. This is First Strike right here on VSiN. Always a pleasure to have Jordan Sherwood join us from Chicago, Illinois. You can follow him on Twitter as I do at Woodon1063 ESPN Chicago. Jordan, welcome back to the program. We're going to get to your podcast in a little bit because I know it still doesn't have a title. We'll get to that. But I do want to get your thoughts here as we come off UFC 272. And then you look at this fight card, and I think it's deeper than meets the eye for the average fan out there. Maybe a little bit better than you expect coming off. What do you make of the totality of the card, and have you kind of dug into some of the prelim fights to find maybe an advantage that you see early on in the card?
Yeah, I mean, you always have to. I mean, look, we have a fight card basically every weekend, so you have to find value where you can. This is an underrated fight card. I think it's from top to bottom. You know, it doesn't maybe have like notable names that the casual mixed martial artist is going to stop what they're doing to watch, but there's some great fights, and there's some significant fights. If you look at like future title contenders, you know, championship pedigree, if you will. So I like a lot of what I'm seeing both on the main card and on the prelims. And if you want me to go right to it, I think Kamella Kirk, again, on short notice, taking a fight against Damon Jackson, a guy that I think he's going to outbox and have a advantage on the feet. If it goes to the ground, I think he'll be the better wrestler, the better grappler. He'll just have to avoid those chokes that Damon Jackson is well known for. And, you know, granted, you know, Kamella Kirk did well in a short notice fight. Some question whether he won against Makwan Amerikani, his short notice stint the last time. But I think he does it again. There's short value on him. I think it's about a pick 'em. So that's a guy that I'm looking on the prelims that's going to do enough to get by Damon Jackson tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is, Kirk clearly has the skill, and then Jackson has the will. So sometimes skill can beat will when your best might not be as good as Damon Jackson's best from a skill level there. Let's get to the main card here. When you look at Silva against Pereira here, and Alex is minus 190 against Bruno, coming back at plus 160. What do you make of this first fight here on the main card?
All right. Well, you know, I got two young children, 6 and 4, Zoe and Maxwell. They're all about Encanto. They don't talk about Bruno in Encanto. We talk about Bruno in this one. I think there is tremendous value and a lot of people underrating Bruno Silva's skills on the ground. Ooh. They look at him and he's been a knockout artist since he's arrived in the UFC. I think he's got, you know, 5 or 6 knockouts in a row. And obviously, you know, Pereira comes in with a lot of notoriety, a world-class kickboxer, a guy that knocked out Israel Adesanya when they competed, you know, as kickboxers, and we know how good of a striker Israel Adesanya is. And look, if Bruno Silva stands and trades with Alex here, he's going to lose, and he's going to likely get knocked out because, you know, Pereira's a world beater when it comes to that. But Bruno Silva is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Mm. This is a guy that's extremely well-versed on the ground, did it a lot before he arrived in the UFC, and we saw Pereira get taken down in his UFC debut, not against a strong grappler whatsoever. So not only do I believe that there is value in Bruno Silva at plus 150, just a straight pick, how about a 17-18-1 dog to win via submission?
I'm picking that's available right now.
Yeah, that's available right now. And look, Pereira, again, spent almost the entire first round of his UFC debut on his back against a guy that's not a good grappler. And we saw 2 weeks ago, now I can't remember the kickboxer's name, but he fought Jeremiah Wells. Mm-hmm. He has a weird name, but he got taken down and got submitted. Yeah, I mean, look, these guys are great strikers, but there is levels to this game, and Bruno Silva has it. He's going to have to remember that that's who he is. So I understand why Pereira is the favorite. He comes in with a lot of that notoriety, and it likely will be a stand-up fight. But if Bruno Silva looks in the mirror and says, oh, yeah, I got this black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, take the fight to the ground, submit him, and walk out of there with a clean win.
I love that call to 16-1 right now, DraftKings here, to get it by submission. Drew Dober, Terrence McKinney, and look, I don't know if McKinney's taking Chicago on fire. He says he's going to take the UFC by fire. And so far, this number has come down here. He's been bet a little bit, but still about plus 140 we're seeing here at DraftKings. What do you make of McKinney, the fast riser right now in the UFC?
I think he's special. I really do. I think we saw how special he is against Firas Zaim a couple of weeks ago. This is a guy that has, 11 wins and 11 first-round finishes. He's got wrestling credentials that we do not know about, and I think there's something special about him. Drew Dober is that next step. I mean, you go out and you beat Drew Dober on short notice, you have arrived. So, and I think the UFC recognizes that, already giving him a new contract, his second fight into his UFC career. And this is a short notice fight. I like Terrence McKinney. I grabbed him at plus 180. I know it's been bet down a little bit. And Drew Dober's a tough customer. You know, he's been in there with some of the best. He's a tough guy to finish. Islam Makhachev, you know, needed a couple of minutes to get that done. Brad Riddell struggled to do it. But I think Terrence McKinney is that special fighter and a lightweight that's going to be fighting for the championship likely at some point. So if you're special, what do? You go out and you finish a guy like Drew Dober at around round and a half on short notice. So I think that happens again. I really do. And until he's – look, I think he's going to be a big favorite probably the next couple of times he's in the octagon. So as long as I could grab him as an underdog at plus value – I'm going to.
Jordan, exactly what I was thinking as well. You're not going to see him priced to be the underdog, maybe much more after this, if he takes care of Drew Dober in short order like he has his last couple opponents. Let's get to Sadiq Youssef against Alex Caceres here. Alex Caceres can be a bit of a wild man, bit of a wild card inside the octagon. We know that Youssef's going to want to use those hands. What do you make of this stylistic matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to actually likely stay away from this matchup, at least as far as making a play, because I really like Bruce Leroy. I think Alex Caceres, you know, fun fighter, well-versed, you know, coming from the Ultimate Fighter, good shin, he's got submissions, he's got some great cardio, utilizes his reach. Sadiq Youssef is also a guy that the UFC is extremely high on. He got humbled a little bit his last time out against Arnold Allen, and We'll talk about Arnold Allen in a couple of weeks when he's got his showcase fight against Dan Hooker over in London. But I think Alex Conceras could win this fight. I think he's just going to have to get the fight to the ground and look to utilize some chokes. If he's going to try and, you know, pepper away at Sadiq Youssef, he's going to probably land into one of those bombs that Youssef has. So I understand it. I'm probably not going to even play this fight just because there's too much delay on Youssef to win, but I don't trust enough for me to believe Alex Conceras is going to get his hand raised.
Got a couple more minutes to go here with Jordan Sherwood. He is co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast on ESPN Chicago. We'll get to that in a second, Jordan. But let's get to the top two fights of the night, starting off with Marlon Moraes as a solid underdog against Song Yadong. It wasn't that long ago Moraes was fighting right there in Chicago, Jordan, for the belt against the king himself. Henry Cejudo came up short there. What do you make of this matchup here? Are Moraes' better days behind him?
I think you kind of have to believe that. I mean, look, three losses in a row, three finishes in a row. He had Merab Dvalishvili in all sorts of trouble the last time that we saw him. Couldn't put him away. Then he gets put away. He had some issues. Look, he tried to change things up from American Top Team, go spend some time over at Tiger Muay Thai overseas. But then he gets COVID. He's in, like, not a hostel, but not a hospital. Mm. Like, it's a combination between the two, and there's a language barrier, and he's got 10 days that he has to do there. So who knows how much training and benefit he really got from, you know, being alongside Peter Yan. And look, Song Yadong, great chin, young 24-year-old fighter who burst onto the UFC scene at 19 years of age. This is a huge step up in competition. You just alluded to Moraes's, fighting for the championship. I think that you probably play the over in this fight at a round and a half, just because Moraes is going to have to be, again, gun out of a cannon, you know, bullet out of a cannon. Right. He's got a round and a half to get this done. And just the chin on Yadong, the power that he has, being able to survive and then get a finish at some point. And unfortunately, it's probably the end of Moraes' career within the UFC.
Yeah, over right now, juiced -145, over a round and a half. To the main event we go. Santos against Ankalaev here. We can understand why Magomed is such a big favorite, almost $5 out here in the desert. Jordan, any chance for the man with a sledgehammer on his chest?
I don't think so. And I think Ankalaev inside the distance is actually the play. That's plus money right now. Mm-hmm. If you believe Ankalaev is a title contender, a lot of people believe that he's going to be wearing the strap at some point next year. He's won, what, 7 fights in a row. He should have won 8. Paul Craig got, a last-minute submission in his UFC debut. But the combination of sambo, wrestling, striking. Thiago Santos is not the same guy ever since he fought John Jones because of the MCL and ACL surgeries. He can't have that explosiveness. Once this fight gets to the ground, it is completely over. It is Ankalaev's fight all day. And I think he gets a takedown at some point in 5 rounds, probably, less than 3, and gets a finish. The other guys that Santos has been in there with recently, Johnny Walker, not a guy that's going to look to take the fight to the ground. So Ankalaev is going to get his hand raised, and he's going to get the finish tomorrow night.
You got to listen to it. The Unnamed MMA podcast on ESPN Chicago. Hey, Jordan, appreciate you, man. Stay warm out there in Chicago. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Dave. Thanks again.
Always great to have Jordan on. Come on back with Reed Kuhn right here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers.
and I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Compete for free with the Modelo Golden Ticket Challenge. Join three UFC contests to fight for your share of $20,000 in total cash and prizes. Plus, find out if you're going to walk away with a Modelo Golden Ticket and claim four seats to every pay-per-view fight for an entire year. Head to DraftKings.com/Modelo now to get in on all the action. Modelo, the official beer partner of the UFC. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 years of age or older. Terms, conditions, eligibility, and rules are all at DraftKings.com. Please drink responsibly. Dave Ross back here. This is First Strike right here on VSiN. And of course, you have to follow Reed Kuhn as I do at Fightnomics. He is the author of the book of the same title. Reed, always great to have you in. And I got to start off with last week, UFC 272. The models did quite well last week. When you look back, and I know you had Colby and I believe by decision as well in the main event, but really a profitable night for the models last week.
Yeah, it was huge, and we called it out because it was such a deep card, and we had a ton of data. And I love a deep card because the room for error is very small when you have a card where you're only making two or three bets. And so when you have 10 fights to bet on, you can miss a few and still have a great night, and that's kind of how things panned out.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's stay hot here because, again, when you look at the main card of this fight card, and Reed coming off of UFC 272, pretty good, and I'm sure you're going to like that you're going to have some names that have been in the octagon with a lot of octagon time to really delve in with your models here. Let's start off with Khalil Roundtree against Carl Roberson, and it's been pretty evenly bet. We had Nick Klikas on in the first block of this show here, and Ray, he says he's seen a lot of sharp action kind of coming on both fighters here. It feels like somebody's going to get knocked out. What are the totals and models showing you?
Yeah, this was interesting. I think Roberson was actually the underdog not that long ago, and the odds have flipped, but there's no way they're going to diverge too much because we've got two very good strikers, and I do expect them to go toe-to-toe. So in terms of backing a side, I've got a slight lean on Roberson. But when I stack them up side by side, they look very similar. And I have to have some caution because Roberson was competing in middleweight before moving up. And so he earned his statistics against smaller people. But arguably, some of those guys were pretty stiff competition. I mean, Marvin Vettori is an excellent middleweight. So, this should be a striker's duel. But I do have a slight lean on Roberson. Khalil is not a grappler. And when you look back at who has Roberson lost to, it was usually by submission against good grapplers. So you remove that from the equation and they're going to duke it out. And so I like Roberson. He is a skilled striker. He's dabbled in kickboxing. So that's why I'm backing him here.
Any lean on the total here? Because we're seeing right now, you can get plus money if you think it might go over 2.5 rounds here, plus 125. The under right now juiced to minus 150. What are the models showing with these guys in there? Do you think we're going to get a long night or maybe a quicker night than people expect?
So this is at light heavyweight. So I classify them separately and I don't run the same models for a total. But just look at Roundtree. I mean, he has 9 knockdowns to date in, not that long of a fight time. So he is a heavy, heavy hitter. He's also been damaged himself. So if these two go back and forth, we've got two southpaws who know how to crack. And at light heavyweight, you would expect that one of them is going to fall down.
Yeah, it could be. So again, that's why you're seeing it juiced to the under there, minus 150 right now, 2.5 total rounds there. Let's go to Sadiq Youssef against Alex Caceres. Again, when you have Bruce Leroy in there, you never know what style he's going to employ. It's probably going to be crazy. We know that on the feet. We know Youssef says, hey, if you want to stand and trade, that's good news for him. And obviously that's why he's favored here. Minus 265 was what we're seeing right now. What are the models showing in this matchup?
Yeah, I like this matchup. I do agree with Youssef as the favorite here, just not overwhelmingly so. I mean, this won't be a huge play for me. Caceres, you're right. Like Bruce Leroy, he is a very accurate striker. He's been around for a long time. He has almost 300 minutes of octagon time in his career because he came in very young, and he's been sticking around. But he has also been damaged over time. He's now taken more knockdowns received than he's dished out, even though he likes to be a striker and he is very accurate. So Yusuf, you know, he's probably the harder hitter on paper. Not a ton of knockdowns, but on a per strike basis, it's much higher than Caceres. And so if he finds that home, I think he is going to knock him down. In terms of the over-under, though, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of value here. This is probably going to a decision. I think that's probably where the lean is. I think they'll go back and forth. But Yusuf is just the busier, higher pace guy, and I think that's going to edge out the rounds.
Yeah, and again, that's why you're seeing it minus 130, that the fight would go the decision. Very quickly, you mentioned the power of Alex Caceres. Yes, he's an accurate striker, but Reed, the models don't show the power, right? And that's why you're seeing plus $9 here for KO, TKO, or DQ if Caceres pulls off the upset?
Yeah, he has four career knockdowns. Just on a per-strike basis, it's actually below average for the UFC. And so you kind of have it or you don't. I mean,
right.
That's just not really his style. He is a precision striker. He puts together combinations, but he's not putting his whole body into it. And he doesn't have like a ton of crazy head kicks or anything. I mean, he's well-rounded, just not really a headhunter.
Yeah. And plus 425 right there. If you think that Bruce Leroy can win this fight by decision, which might have to be the way to outpoint Yusuf, you would believe, if the underdog is going to come through here. All right, let's talk about a guy that I like to root for, Marlon Moraes, but he's not cashing tickets as of late. If you've been backing him here, and right now plus $2 against Song Yadong here, you can understand why minus 240 here for Yadong, the much younger fighter here, nine years age difference here, 33 to 24. What do the models show here? Hey, Yadong's been in there, and yet he's very young, and I know you got a pretty good book on Moraes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's pretty good data here. They both show up well on paper, but you're right. First of all, you're not normally going to hear me backing someone with a 10 year like higher age. So that's not the case here. I'm backing Yadong. He's a pretty crisp striker. These guys are both crisp strikers. But when you factor in that age differential and the fact that Moraes has now been knocked down a bunch of times, it probably doesn't bode well. These guys should stand and trade. They don't spend a whole lot of time on the ground. And if they do, you know, you got to back the younger guy. And so, yeah, I'm going with Yadong here. And I actually, the models do like a finish in this situation. Now the odds are pretty steep for the finish. So it's essentially, we're agreeing with the market on that. But if you're already backing Yadong Song, maybe you're going to be hunting for the KO prop.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because the total rounds at a round and a half, and normally in these lighter weight classes, you think, well, this is definitely going to go over that total. It is juiced minus 145, but the under plus 115. If these guys, even though they're lighter weights, do stand and trade, you could see somebody getting KO'd here. And again, Moraes by KO is plus 550. Yadong, you can understand, only minus 110. So they, to your point, Reed, they're expecting this fight to stay on their feet, and somebody might go out. And it would favor Yadong here at minus 110. Main event time, when you look at Thiago Santos against Magomed Ankalaev, and again, second week in a row, the main event, we got a big, big time favorite here. Ankalaev, almost $5 favorite over Santos. You know, it's been a couple years now since the John Jones fight that really got Santos and everybody put him on the map there at a player in this division at 205 pounds. What do you make now? Because here we are, we do have a nine-year age gap again with Santos and Ankalaev.
Yeah, and again, I'm siding with the heavy favorite here. It's a very, this seems like an overall chalky card for me, so I hate doing that, but I can't disagree with the numbers here. Ankalaev is just a very precise hitter, and first of all, 19 knockdowns combined between the two of them. Oof. So like both these guys can crack, but you're gonna have Ankalaev as the much more accurate striker. He's not really outranged here. It's a, you know, marginal reach difference, but he's much younger, taken much less damage. He's never been knocked down himself. Santos has taken three of those. And if it goes to the ground, Ankalaev has the better grappling, or at least dominant wrestling. So you don't necessarily have to be getting submissions if you want that out. If they do crack and Santos gets him, he's got the ground game as a backup plan.
Yeah, that you look at some of these numbers here. Win by finish for Ankalaev is plus value here, plus 105. KO, TKO, DQ, plus 110. Sub is $8. Is it one-way action for Santos to pull the major upset? Would it only be the $6 underdog here at KO, TKO, or DQ? Because I can't see a way that he can outpoint him. And again, by decisions, 10-1 for Santos.
Yeah, it's a great point. And when you have a heavy favorite, historically speaking, when upsets occur at those odds, it's usually because of a finish.
Right.
People are generally pretty good at figuring out who's probably going to win the rounds. But then it's MMA and anything can happen. You can get a wild submission or a crazy knockout. So if you are going for the upset, you might as well go all in. Go for that knockout, Santos by knockout, at even bigger plus money.
Yeah, that's how you can maximize that dollar if you like the dog. But I'm kind of with you, Reed. It doesn't seem like we've got a live dog scenario in this one. Hey, Reed, always appreciate the time and the information. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fightnomics. I want to thank Jordan Sherwood for joining us as well, Lou Finicaro, and for Nick Kalikas joining us in studio right here at Circa Sportsbook. Should be a really exciting fight card here at UFC Apex. Enjoy the fights. Cash those tickets. We'll see you next week right here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.